Let's turn in God's word now to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. In which we'll be again reading the whole chapter, Joshua 1, verses 1 through 18. And our focus will be to continue where we left off. We went through verse 4 last week, and we'll get through verse 12 this Lord's Day, Lord willing. Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 18. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's help. Our gracious Father, thank you for your word, and plead now that you would speak through your servant. That I would just be a mouthpiece, and that you would bless the reading and preaching of your word, that your name would be exalted and glorified, and you would cause us by your Spirit and by your grace to love your word and obey. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua 1, verse 1. These are the words of God. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go and to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites, the half tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Those are God's words. The Lord speaking to Joshua here, directing, commanding what Israel was to do. Remember, that was our first point last Lord's Day, the only point last Lord's Day, the Lord's commandments. And He's still commanding here as we continue. But transitions now to speak just to Joshua. Before the first four verses, He's speaking to Joshua and also all of Israel. And now He's speaking very directly to Joshua. Last Lord's Day we heard in the first four verses His commands to the nation to rise up, cross over this Jordan, to not wait, but to go take up possession of that land that the Lord had given them. And now the Lord to Joshua, with of course application to all of Israel, but to Joshua He says, verse 5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Great comfort for the one being called to lead the people of God. "I will be with thee," Jehovah says. "I will be with thee." In Exodus, the Lord gave this assurance to Moses too. Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And He said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." Joshua is facing similar challenges as Moses did. Moses was dealing with the wicked, Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And they were mightier than Israel as the people of God. The people of God were slaves. But God was with Moses and upheld him. No matter how weak he was, Moses was upheld. Moses was pretty weak in speaking. And Joshua now comes on the banks of the Jordan to cross over, and the Lord is calling them to conquer all the wicked before them. Again, these enemies, these wicked people who occupy the land have been scouted out earlier. They're giants, they're mighty, strong warriors. And the earthly question is, how will we ever be able to defeat them? And the Lord assures Joshua here again, because He's already assured them previously, "Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." And it's further confirmed, "I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." And what this proves to us, beloved, is again that Jehovah does not change. He's the same for His people over the years, for centuries and forever. Deuteronomy 31, just before this in Joshua, He says with similar language, "Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." And that's quoted again here. And then it's quoted again in Hebrews 13. And we also know what Romans 8 says. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He will not fail us, nor forsake us. Moses has died, but Jehovah remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord is present with His people. Emmanuel, we read in Matthew, God with us. He's with Joshua here. He's always to His people a help, a deliverance. So then, verse 5 again, because of what we've just heard, it says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." This is referring to Joshua properly, and then by extension, again, all of Israel. Levi, this way. Again, this is referring to Joshua. No man will be able to stand before them None of the wicked as they go into the land is the meaning. They will all be defeated. We know this because of Deuteronomy 7, which shares the same language and meaning. Deuteronomy 7 says, "But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them." No enemy will be able to oppose Joshua because the Lord is with him just as he was with Moses. And therefore, because of verse 5, the Lord commands Joshua, verse 6, "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Now Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Now we already know from previous books in the Pentateuch that Joshua is a courageous man by the grace of God. Even in the war with the Amalekites, right? His spying out the land and going out against the doubters' report of the land. We talked about last Lord's Day. And yet here is the Lord commanding him to be courageous and strong. And why is this? It's just because he's been favored by the Lord with certain graces doesn't take away the need for him to be reminded of those graces that he needs. That he needs to press on in those graces. Joshua needs to exercise those graces. Be active in those graces who the Lord has made you to be. Be that. Improve upon it. You aren't perfect. Joshua's not perfect. He could improve. And Moses isn't there anymore like he was before. Joshua needed to be built up again and gain confidence not in himself, but in the Lord. And so the Lord builds him up and calls Joshua to be faithful. Pay attention. Joshua calls Joshua to be faithful to him. Be strong and of a good courage. Why? Because of your duty. Because of your duty. You have a duty, Joshua, now as mediator of this people between me and they. You are to divide the land of inheritance among them, so you can't be passive. You can't be sitting there on this side of the Jordan, the east side of the Jordan. You have to cross over. And you have to trust me in my power to defeat these enemies. And in that way, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous does not mean you have to be physically strong. Or have that courage like of a mighty warrior. He's not talking about that at all. He's talking about be strong and courageous, believing in me, the Lord. Notice his command is, you have to divide a land. Because I, Jehovah, have sworn unto your fathers to give this land to Israel. I have sworn, and I will not change. I'm faithful to my promises. Beloved, there's so much there. The first that how often we find in the church, even amongst ourselves, that we are passive. And we wait and wait and wait and do nothing for the cause of Christ and His kingdom. We sit here and worship and then we go out and do nothing. Decisions need to be made in the church. Actions need to be taken and we sit and wait and delay. Why? For what? He says, be strong and courageous and act. Stop being passive Christians. Stop being like the normal American consumer. You're just receiving and receiving instead of acting by God's grace. The second thing is the great need for us to keep our word, to keep our vows. So here's the Lord. He promised to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this land as an inheritance. And they are no longer here. They've died. Their souls have gone into glory. And yet the promises continue. The covenant is still binding, 400 plus years later. Covenant still binding. And the Lord takes an oath. He will not relent. He won't go back on it. He'll be faithful every time. What a great, again, comfort to Christians. And how often in the church we make promises, don't we? Something in our lives changed and we break those promises very easily. As little as a promise that is, yeah, I can be there on this day and this time to help you do whatever. And then you don't show up, but you always have an excuse. There's always an excuse. You broke your word. And this is amplified in the world. Just try, you know, selling something on Facebook, if some of you have done that, or Craigslist. And you get messages, yeah, I'll take it, I can be there today. And I bet you guys know. And then they never show up. Right? They never call you, they don't say anything, they never show up. What happened to your word, beloved? Our God always keeps His word, and that is the standard that we must live by because He is the righteous God. And then you have your membership vows, the covenant of communicant membership. The Lord is, we can go into that, and we've gone into that before. But the Lord is faithful to His word forever. And we fail each day, and the Lord forgive us. But beloved, we need to be more serious about the vows we make or the promises we make. We need to not lightly make promises, but if we make them, by God's grace, we need to keep them. Unless it is, of course, unto sin. And why is that? Because the Lord promised our fathers to give them this land. He's going to give them this land, so be faithful and active, go in and take it. Verse 7 goes on, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He repeats the command. Be strong and courageous, with a little emphasis on courageous. Be very courageous. And what is the purpose of this? He's emphasizing, so it's important, showing us that. He's commanded Joshua, be strong, very courageous. For what purpose? It says, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. That's what be strong and courageous means. Again, he's defining it for us. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Why did the Lord command it? So you would obey Him. The Lord has given you His law. Obey Him. Obey Him, Joshua. You are about to enter a land filled with idolatry and wickedness and evil and sin. Obey the Lord. It will be difficult. There will be challenges. You'll be tempted. Be strong and courageous. Be strong against sin and the works of the devil. Be courageous to fight against sin and put it to death. Even from among my people, they will, and you'll see that sin is good at times. You'll be tempted to that. But be very courageous to say, no, it's actually evil. It's wicked, and it leads to my death. Be strong and courageous to see that and say it. At every speck of sin, know that it is wicked and only leads to death forever and even the fires of hell. And so obey Jehovah. To do some of the law, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, do according to all the law. All of it. Every jot and tittle. All of that which Jesus came to fulfill, Matthew's gospel says, not to abolish it. All of it which Moses my servant commanded thee. And we have it in our Bibles, God's law. Obey it. Obey it. In and how? By the righteousness of Christ and Christ alone, obey it. By the Holy Spirit, obey it. By His grace, obey it. Turn not from it. Don't turn from God's law, away from God Himself. Turn towards it, His law, and therefore towards God, and obey it. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Stay right on the path of God's law in your life. And when you fail, guess what happens if you're in His law? His law will drive you right back to Christ. Right? That's what we know about the law. It drives us straight to Jesus Christ, our Savior. The one who alone perfectly has kept the law. Be driven. Be strong and courageous. Why? So that you'll obey Jehovah. And then it gives another purpose. That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest, wherever you go. That you would be blessed, a blessed people of God. How would you be blessed? By being strong and courageous and by obeying God's law. That's how we'll be blessed, Christian. That's our calling. Especially the calling of any leader, a Joshua, our example, leader of any nation, a leader in any church. Here he shows where true prosperity and blessing consists in obeying the word of the living and true God. But this also shows, beloved, that if you're not in your Bibles, if you don't know the word, then you will depart from it. As it goes on to say in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. If you want to observe all that is written in the law, then you must know the word. You must love the word, and read the word, and hear the word, and be taught the word, and then teach the word. You must believe what it says, that it's from the Lord Jehovah to you, the Christian, that you may prosper wherever you go. Lack of studying God's word results in a lack of obedience unto the holy Lord Jehovah. If we go forward into Joshua to the end, in Joshua 22 it says, repeats very similarly, "But take diligent heed to the commandment and the law which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways, and to keep His commandments, and to cleave unto Him, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul." Then the next chapter, chapter 23. "Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day." Again, teaching us what it means to be courageous. It's not this mighty man who goes into battle. It's the man, the woman, the child who keeps and does all that God has written in His law. Our God is very serious about obeying His law, His commandments, and His statutes, and His ordinances. Because He loves you, because He cares for you, He wants you to prosper, right? That's His purpose here. He wants you to prosper before Him, even in the earth. "That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." How then will we prosper? That's verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." It's a very strong statement, a stronger statement than you probably first realize. God's law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Your mouth, that which is for speaking. That to be true, you need to read God's word. For you to be able to speak God's word, you need to read God's word. You need to hear God's word. You need to love His word. So that you can then speak it and it won't leave your mouth. But it's always on your lips. And sometimes we think that as this is a part of speech or something, that it should not depart out of thy mouth, that it shouldn't depart from you. You would always be in it. But this is actually talking about speaking it. Be apt to speak God's word. And we're often not. What kind of speaking? Well, we already know in proclamation and teaching, quoting, in our evangelism and teaching our children, grandchildren, teaching and bringing it before our neighbors, things like this. "It shall not depart out of thy mouth," even when you're at home by yourself. He goes on, he talks about it here. "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Now we've talked about meditating before, maybe a year or two, probably 2 years ago or so. In the modern Eastern sense, this is not what it's talking about. It's not talking about the modern Eastern sense, but the word means to mumble, to mutter, to repeat to yourself over and over as if you were muttering or mumbling to yourself. You're constantly reviewing and speaking and memorizing God's law, God's word, day and night as you work and your jobs, as you cook meals, as you do other things. You're singing the Psalms, you're singing God's word, whatever. And you're doing that as you're preparing, you're doing it with your children, whatever it is. You're constantly doing meditating upon God's law day and night. A command that is often repeated throughout Scripture. We know in the Psalms especially, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches. So while He's working in the night watches, right, as the soldiers would stand on the walls and watch at night for attacks coming, meditate then. He's working, meditate. Leaders doing their work, princes also did sit and speak against me, but Thy servant did meditate in Thy statutes. God's Word says. And listen to Paul in 1 Timothy 4. Therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And so we are to be, just as leaders, of course, are to be kings, rulers, pastors, elders. All of us are to be consumed with God's Word, His law, because it is His Word. It's God's Word. Not man's words, not any Joe Schmo. It's God's Word. And yet some of us, all of us, might say, so consumed with other things in the world. And we don't pick up, some of us never pick up His Word nor read it. So consumed with life. Life's too busy. Too many things to do today. Too busy for God. Too busy to listen to the Creator of all things. Other things in the world are more important than Jehovah, even your Savior, Jesus. He says, daily meditate throughout the day on His Word. Do you not love hearing our God speak? Don't you love His Word, the life-giving words of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Gospel, His Word, His law? Meditate upon it day and night, He says. So then you can have it on your lips. On your mouth to speak it. Ready. Always to give an account. On your lips to teach it. To rebuke your sin. To rebuke others of their sin. To love others as well. To be patient and obedient unto our God in Christ. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And thou mayest, that thou mayest, here's the purpose, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Why must we be consumed with the Word of God, with God Himself and His law, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein? So that you'll obey the Lord. For what? So that, it says again, so that you may prosper and have good success. Our God wants us to prosper. He wants us to succeed. And this is how you do it, by being in His Word and obeying it. That's our calling as Christians. That's our calling as leaders of any relationship, father, husband, parent, boss, elder, pastor, judge, ruler, any kind of leader. Your calling is to be in God's Word, to obey God's law, and to do that, you must be consumed by the living God and His Word unto you. If you would do that, the Lord promises you, you will prosper. You'll be blessed. You'll have success. That's His promise. Israel here the same as Joshua was to lead them in this way. Israel needed to follow the example, meditate upon God's law day and night. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's now the third time Jehovah has given the same command in so few of verses, again, to emphasize the command. And he starts this verse off very clearly. Have not I commanded thee? Compared to anyone else who may command you, man, parent, boss, whatever it is, isn't it me, Jehovah, who has commanded you? I, the covenant faithful God, I am the perfect one who perfectly and faithfully keeps all my promises. You can be assured if you go into this land, you will conquer and will win the victory because I, the Lord, will be with thee. Verse 5, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee, Joshua. Have not I commanded thee? The Creator, the Sustainer, the Omnipotent, Omniscient, Omnipresent One, God of all eternity, almighty in power and strength, the gracious God to provide you with all you need, the righteousness you need by the Spirit in Christ my Son. This is Jehovah. And he says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Because Emmanuel, right? The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So be strong and of good courage. Because the land you're about to enter is worldly. You're about to face the overwhelming task to cross over the Jordan to capture the land of promise filled with enemies that no one else has ever been able to defeat in all the history of the world. But you are not alone. Our God, who is greater than all of our foes, has equipped you to stand up to enemies. It might be at some point that we might have to stand up against a whole nation. As the church, who is faithful, even the nation of our own, the United States of America, the nation that's never been defeated. But you're not alone. Your God is greater than all the foes, your foes. He's equipped you to stand up to such enemies. He's granted to you the promises, His covenant promises, to be with you, the church, just as He was with Israel as they enter the land and they... And that they will succeed. That's the promise. But we have to be in the Word. And we have to speak it, meditating upon it. And from the people, the Lord has raised up a godly leader, a strong one. And praise the Lord for that, to lead the people. And He's given you His law, His Word to stand upon and live by. And so our Lord today has given us a commission, like Israel, just as He did with Joshua there. He raised up Joshua. So He's given us a commission like Israel to make disciples of all nations. The commission for Joshua and Israel was to go and take, cross over the Jordan, take and defeat all these enemies and take the land as your inheritance. Our commission is to make disciples of all nations. And so Matthew 28, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I am with you always, He says. Just as He says here to Joshua, so He says to the church. And what do we have but the Word of God? Hebrews 4. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And those Scriptures we are to meditate upon, as we just read in 1 Timothy 4. Paul also says to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What? To do what? To succeed. To prosper. And be blessed in the way you are to go. Have not I commanded thee, Jehovah says. He doesn't change. The Word is still the same to us today. Have not I commanded thee? And so, church, where is our focus? What are we to be doing? He calls us, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And he's given us the great commission as the church to take forth and call sinners to repentance. And to do that, we have to be in the Word meditating day and night, just like we're commanded, or Joshua's commanded here with Israel. And that's what we are called to by him. And he says, have not I commanded thee? Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your Word. We're thankful for your commands. We're thankful for your promises that you are always with us, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we pray that we would believe what you say, that you would teach us and make us and mold us to, by your Spirit and by your grace, to be those who meditate more and more upon your Word day and night, that your Word would be on our lips, that it would be spoken forth, and that you would call sinners to yourself. And how do we know that we will have success in this? Even more so. For you promise, you have given all authority to Jesus your Son in heaven and on earth. And so we know that we will have success in this commandment and commission that you have granted to your church. And so we praise you that you will grow your kingdom and it will expand unto all nations and all peoples. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.